the elimination of nuclear weapons is a long process that involves a tremendous amount of diplomacy, not necessarily popular actions, but government leaders getting in rooms and slowly working on things. It's been a slow haul. It picked up some momentum. This last go-around with President Obama and the START treaties, there was a dramatic reduction of nuclear warheads between the U.S. and Russia, who control about 96-98% of those weapons. But we're generally bogged down. We had hoped, because of partisan politics in Washington, we had hoped to move along with a comprehensive test ban treaty and the non-proliferation treaty, which has slowed down. Just since I've been a messenger of peace in terms of the internet, Skype, the ability to talk in real time to people around the world, that I think there's going to be some momentum really picked up. You can see these kids around the world really having an impact. So it's a steady process. And what I'm getting out of this is the youth. The youth, unfortunately, is going to have to get older much faster than they planned on. We need them.
Have you spoken to some of the presidents whose countries hold huge arsenals of nuclear weapons?
Well, the hugest arsenals are, of course, the United States and Russia. I have not spoken to President Yeltsin since he's come back into power, but I have worked closely with the Atomic Energy Commission in Vienna, and we talked and worked with them. I've talked to North Korean representatives at different times, and, of course, Chinese, English. Spent some time in England speaking with them, yes.
You focus on small arms and light weapons. Are fewer and fewer illegal arms finding their ways into people's hands?
I don't even know if you want to call them illegal, certainly not in this country. We're at an all-time high. We have approximately 300 million small arms, which equals every man, woman, and child in our country. And, you know, with the tragedies that have happened, the murders that we've seen, the mass murders in this country, you'd hope that people would take another look at it, because our murder rate by small arms in our country is so dramatically higher than any other country around. And that's simply because other countries don't have the arms in people's hands as we do. Whenever you have this conversation, you know, the National Rifle Association's done a very good job of making it a constitutional issue, Second Amendment, and it's not. It's not at all. There certainly can be ways for people to have weapons. I'm sure you drive a car. I drive a car. I have to have a license. I get my picture taken. Places you have to have your thumbprints. There's all sorts of ways between that. For instance, there's a way right now that you can identify a bullet. Any bullet can be identified from the rifle that comes out of, or the pistol comes out. Every bore on a rifle or handgun has its own fingerprint. So we've been trying just to pass that, and that's been hard to get through. It makes it much easier to connect a bullet with the rifle that it came from.
Could you please talk about the plight of the child soldiers, which is part of your focus?
Well, children are the easiest to control. I was in Sierra Leone. They had a terrible civil war, fed largely by Liberia and Charles Taylor, what was coming across the border, involving the diamonds that existed in Sierra Leone. But they basically kidnap children from at a young age, shoot them up with drugs. I mean, I basically put shots into the head wherever they can, and then use them both for carrying all of their supplies. And of course, as innocents, they can go into situations and areas with the hand grenade or whatever else. And so it's a terrible problem. And now that you see things like Charles Taylor being arraigned in The Hague by the Criminal International Court of Justice, people are more aware of the problems. But it still exists. There's some issues now in Niger and back to the Congo that it's worried, and also in Asia, Middle East.